Assemble in Air with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi, I'm Sabine.
And I'm Amanda. Welcome to the 58th episode of Robots. In today's show, we have a look at a special type of modular robot that flies. To talk about this, we have Raymond Ung from the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich, who is lead researcher for the Flight Array project.
Then, to celebrate aerial robots, we thought it would be fun to record sounds from all the flying objects we have around the lab and see if you could figure out which robots they belong to. The winner will be receiving a Huawei Blade Star. But first, as always, let's listen to the latest news in robotics from Christine.
Thanks, Sabine. Hiroshi Ishiguro has just unveiled his latest android. As you may remember from his interview with the Robots podcast or from previous news reports, Ishiguro is a professor at Osaka University, very well known for his ultra-realistic humanoids. However, unlike his previous creations, his new android does not duplicate the appearance of a specific human. Instead, the child-sized Telenoid R1 only mimics basic human features like eyes, a nose, and lips. But it is of a uniform gray color, its head is bald, and its limbs are only stumps. Even its creator is quick to admit that the new robot looks eerie. However, he is sure that once the Telenoid is used to communicate through it with another person, its abstract shape makes it easy to imagine the friend's face on the Telenoid's face and to feel the friend's embrace by embracing the Telenoid. Ishiguro expects the robot to have applications in remote work, remote education, and elderly care. Following a demonstration at this year's Ars Electronica Festival in Linz, Austria, a research version will go on sale for $35,000. The commercial version of the Telenoid R1 will cost about $8,000. Engineers at the Max Planck Institute for Biological Cybermedics in Germany have converted an industrial robot arm into a Formula One simulator. The motion control algorithms of the RoboCoaster 6-axis industrial KUKA arm, which is usually sold to theme parks, have been modified to give the driver control of the robot motion. The robot has also been fit with a driver's cabin, complete with a projected track and force feedback steering wheel and pedals. The new system allows for a much larger motion envelope than the Stuart platforms used in flight simulators and provides a more accurate simulation of the accelerations experienced in a real F1 car. The goal of the project is to study how humans perceive motion. In addition, the researchers believe that the simulators can be adapted to recreate the experience of being in a plane, helicopter, ship, and other vehicles. For more information and videos of Ishiguro's Telenoid R1 and the Formula One RoboCoaster in action, have a look at our forum at www.robotspodcast.com/forum.
Thanks, Christine. At ICAO a couple months back, I attended Ray Ung's presentation on the distributed flight array, which he works on as a PhD student for Raffaello D'Andrea at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich. His project aims at building a modular robot composed of lots of independent propellers that can drive around on the floor, assemble, and then take off. His paper was actually nominated for Best Paper, and his talk was absolutely excellent, which is why we're really happy to have him on our show today. Hi, Ray. Welcome to Robots.
Hi.
Can you please present yourself to our listeners?
Well, my name is Raymond Ong. I'm a PhD student at the Institute for Dynamic Systems and Controls at ETH Zurich, and I'm working under the supervision of Professor Raffaello D'Andrea. My research is aimed at developing fundamental algorithms for controlling systems with many interconnected components, like whose dynamics are not well known or change with time. And all of this is really motivated by building a fairly abstract mechatronics testbed, which we've called the distributed flight array.
So I really loved your talk at ICRA basically on this distributed flight array. Can you give us a general idea of what this is?
Okay, well, you can think of the distributed flight array as a kind of a combination between vertical takeoff and landing vehicles and modular reconfigurable robots. What it is a flying platform consisting of multiple autonomous single-propeller vehicles, and these single-propeller vehicles, or we call them modules, are able to generate enough thrust to lift itself into the air, but it's completely unstable in flight. It's kind of like a helicopter without a tail rotor. The idea is that we have several of these modules scattered around on the ground, which drive, and they can drive because they have wheels. So they drive around on the ground and they self-assemble. Once assembled, they're able to coordinate and take flight. One of the interesting aspects of the distributed flight array is that this assembly process is more or less random, so the array can take on a variety of different configurations. After flying and hovering in the air for some predetermined amount of time, the modules break apart in the air, fall back down, and repeat the cycle all over again, but in a new configuration.
And what would you say is the motivation for your project?
The motivation for the project is twofold. First, it's a research platform. The array features rich dynamics, and it's a very challenging design problem. We use this platform to investigate algorithms and architectures and distributed estimation and control, and effectively it abstracts many of the real-world issues that will be encountered when designing like next-generation distributed multi-agent systems. The second motivation is, well, it's a pedagogical tool. Robots, as you probably know, are inherently like eye-catching to the public. Control theory, not so much. Concepts in control theory are usually difficult for the general public to appreciate, much less understand. So projects like the distributed flight array provide the opportunity to illustrate control theory research to the public in a tangible way. For example, like I can easily explain what I'm doing to my grandmother without having to get into math or short MATLAB plots or whatnot.
Can you describe one of these modules to us? What do they look like?
Well, I can describe revision one of the modules. We're currently working on a new revision, but the physical design hasn't been finalized yet. So revision one of the module resembles a hexagon with 3D extrusions designed for passive alignment and docking. The chassis is constructed out of an expanded polypropylene foam, which is typically found in foam RC aircrafts. On each side of the module is an arrangement of magnets. These magnets have been designed to be strong enough to keep the modules together when docked, but weak enough such that the modules can break apart when sufficient amount of force or torque is applied. Each module is equipped with 3 omnidirectional wheels, which enable it to drive around on the ground. And at the center of the chassis is a brushless DC motor and 3-bladed propeller that enables it to fly. Just to note, the propeller, all modules are the exact same except for their propeller rotation. Some rotate clockwise and others rotate counterclockwise, and that's needed in order to cancel out the aerodynamic torques in trim flight.
And in terms of size and sensors?
It's about 30 centimeters from end to end. Sensors include, there's a 3-axis rate gyro on board for attitude sensing, and we use a pressure sensor for altitude sensing. On each side of the module, so 6 sides, we have infrared communication ports used for communicating with their neighbors.
Can you give us some insight on the next prototype?
Well, the next prototype is going to combine both driving and flying. The first revision, or what you see in the video, is the flying and driving have kind of been separated, and that was just to demonstrate feasibility, right? So the new prototype will combine both driving and flying. The shape is a little bit different. We've changed the shape because it enables better docking probabilities. It'll be lighter. It'll have more sensors on board. We're getting rid of the pressure sensor and using an infrared rangefinder for altitude sensing. And it'll be cheaper to build. One of the other cool things about it is you might notice in the video that the PCB, or the electronics that we made, is kind of this rectangular board that sits on top of the modules, we're going to be developing, or we are developing, a flexible PCB that'll wrap inside the module to keep it safe from any impact or dangers when flying.
I guess you're going to have to sort of mass produce these. Are you doing this all in-house?
We are doing all of this in-house. Mass production, yeah, it's always a concern for us how cheaply or how expensive a process is. We want to make about, 12 modules.
A lot
of
work.
So, yeah, the project is very integrated, like all the electronics, mechanics. If you change one thing, you change everything else. There's a lot of work that goes into just designing it.
So this brings us to the question as to how these modules actually work together. Can you give us some insight on that?
So modules are able to communicate with their neighbors. Once docked, they're able to communicate with their neighbors via these infrared channels. And from that, we use control strategies that enable them to coordinate with one another.
Once you have all these modules assembled, how do you actually make this structure fly? What is the control?
So we've essentially developed a straightforward, intuitive distributed strategy for hover control. And by exploiting various physical aspects of the system, we're able to fly our array by knowing just two parameters, for example, the position of each module in the array with respect to its center of mass and the direction of propeller rotation. So if you can imagine the array in plane, if the array is tilting to its right side, so if a disturbance is causing the array to rotate clockwise, you would want to generate more thrust on the right side of the array and less thrust on the left side of the array.
So it really acts as a single flying robot, basically.
Yeah.
And what happens if you split the robot in the air?
Well, the idea is that the modules are going to break apart in the air. At the moment, we have nothing to prevent the modules from, nothing to keep the modules flying once modules break apart.
So because the structure is compliant, they're able to fall to the floor and then reassemble and take off again, basically.
Yeah.
And how challenging is it to control such a flying robot? It sounds very challenging to me.
Well, it's challenging enough just to design and engineer the physical device. One of the physical challenges, like in any modular robotics problem, is to ensure robust and reliable intermodule communication. In terms of control algorithms, I can imagine that implementing like a centralized controller will be fairly straightforward, but the challenge really is to implement the flight controller in a distributed sense.
Do you think we'll be able to assemble in air at one point?
That's an interesting question. It'll definitely be challenging. I don't see why not.
Maybe you can tell us what you've been able to demonstrate so far. So tell us what your videos show, basically.
Okay, so essentially we've demonstrated the module's ability to dock with its peers, drive with its peers in a coordinated fashion, and fly in a configuration similar to that of a quadrocopter, so with four modules. Like you said, there's a video that summarizes all of this on YouTube. And currently, the modules fly without altitude control, and that's because during our experiments, we discovered our altitude sensors to be fairly unreliable. So at the moment, it simply is controlled in attitude, roll and pitch.
I'm wondering, how important is it that each module is really the same?
Okay, well, in terms of control, like the control algorithm assumes that all modules are physically the same. Like the mass moment of inertia, the mass of the modules, all of that. The only thing that differs between modules is the propeller rotation.
I really like this idea of different propeller rotations. Do you have to have equal number of left and right, or does that not matter?
The control algorithm assumes that there is a relatively equal number of counterclockwise and clockwise rotating propellers.
And For the motion on the ground, so you said it was more or less random the way they assembled. Are you thinking of directing this, or?
We'd like to keep it fairly random so that the configurations are different every time we fly, and that keeps the project interesting and challenging.
Yeah, I agree. In terms of applications, do you see any specific applications?
Specifically for this system, no, but for the control algorithms and architectures that we're developing, yes. We had a visitor come in last year in December who's founded a high-altitude wind turbine company, which uses multi-propeller propulsion to get its vehicle into the air. And it's kind of interesting to see how his project and our project kind of relate.
Your flight area looks really cool. I love the design of it. And I know that Raf Dandrea likes artwork a lot, and I was wondering if you think this robot is relevant for the artistic field.
So first, I guess you need to ask yourself what really is art. And I guess one of the motivations behind art is the expression of the imagination. So by my definition, art is made with the intention of stimulating thought and emotion. I'm not sure if the flight array really stimulates emotion, but it certainly stimulates thought. For what it is, it does communicate ideas to a broad audience, such as expressing the underlying math and control algorithms behind it. So in that sense, I do believe it is a piece of art.
And more generally, what would you like to see in flying modular robotics for the future?
In terms of the distributed flight array, it would be really cool just to see a cluster of 10 to 20 modules flying together, taking off and flying in some arbitrary configuration. I think that would really open people's eyes. Even cooler, like you mentioned previously, is if we could see clusters joined together or split apart in the air.
Thanks, Ray, for being here with us on Robots.
Thank you.
We were trying to imagine the sound of all these propellers and then realized it would be fun to record some of the flying objects here at the EPFL. If you manage to match the sound with the correct robot picture, we will send you a Wowie Blade Star. If we receive multiple correct answers, we will choose one randomly. Answers can be sent via email to info@robotspodcast.com or can be posted below this episode on the website. The audio segments are also available on the website if you would like to re-listen.
Robot A. Robot B. Robot C. Robot D. Robot E. Robot F. For more information on our guests or on our competition, have a look at our website at www.robotspodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in 2 weeks. Assemble in Air with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.